from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening on 610 Sports, RickTonSports.com, and the Odyssey app. I'm looking outside, and you would have never guessed that about an hour or so ago, there was a flood outside. I mean, it was raining the entire morning. And it wasn't just like a light drizzle. I mean, it was a downpour. Rob, the power went out at our job. We heard the generator kick on. I was talking to Denny Matthews earlier. I'll play our conversation for you coming up at 3 o'clock. I was asking him, has his basement ever flooded before? It was raining cats and dogs outside. Now I look outside. It just looks like a regular summer day. So hopefully you guys were fine earlier. I saw some flooding. I saw some cars stuck on the side of the road. It looked like a lot was going on. How was your drive in today, Rob?
I mean, it was slow. People were not going the limit, but that's because I was driving through a monsoon on the way in. But I did not run into any flooding, and I don't think I'm going to run into any flooding driving home based on what I see outside.
We got a lot planned in today's show. Denny Matthews is going to be on the show. It is a very busy NBA portion right now with free agency just starting. We'll recap some of the biggest stories in free agency. We'll talk a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs today as well. We are in the first day of July. We're going to be off Thursday and Friday for the 4th of July holiday. I imagine many of you also have those days off at well, but really excited to be here these first 3 days of the week. We'll get to the Royals coming up on the other side of...
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Car number 6, 913-586-7610. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So, Carrington, whether you're in the mood for, I don't know, a slice or two, you're hungry enough for a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, you also want to stay up to date on the Kansas City Royals as we head towards the All-Star break. The best place to do that is right here on 610 Sports Radio. I do want to tell you guys in relation to the Royals, Bobby Witt Jr. will make his first appearance on the show coming up tomorrow at 2:25. Bobby Witt Jr. will be on the show tomorrow at 2:25. Go tell your friends about it. All right, this is where I would like to start today's show because, Rob, I believe that you and I had the exact same question about the Kansas City Royals. They kind of got knocked down a couple of weeks ago. They had a tough stretch where they played the Yankees and the Dodgers. They had a stretch there where they played the Oakland A's. They also played the Texas Rangers. They lost both of those series. The Royals did not have the greatest month of June. They got off to an incredible red-hot start, but they had the June swoon, which Denny Matthews called it. And again, he's going to be on the show here coming up in an hour or so. The June swoon. I really wanted to see the Royals come back home, and we talked about how important this week was. The Royals played arguably the worst team in baseball in the Miami Marlins, and you had the biggest and most important series in Kauffman Stadium since 2017 with the Cleveland Guardians coming to town. You and I mentioned it. If you won the series, what that meant, if you lost the series outright, you can forget about your chances in the division. The Royals take 3 out of 4. They win the series against the Miami Marlins. They're currently 4-2 on a homestand. If they just win one, or excuse me, they're 5-2. Excuse me, they're 5-2 so far in their first 7 games of this homestand. You don't have to win another game for you to at least have a 500 road trip in this 10 games when you have the 3 opponents of Miami, Cleveland, and you got the Tampa Bay Rays coming into town starting tomorrow. So I give the Royals a ton of credit. I give them a lot of credit for they got knocked down. You had a bad month of June. You didn't let that knock you out. And this homestand was incredibly important. And what you needed to do was fight back. You did that. It wasn't the prettiest against Miami, but I didn't care necessarily about the how. I just cared about the results. You got that done. You won 2 of 3 against Miami. You look at a team like Cleveland. They're one of the 3 best teams in the American League. You took care of business against them. You are 4-2 this season against the Cleveland Guardians, and you got some chance to make up more ground against them in the second half of the season. The Royals deserve a lot of credit for, I think they got knocked down in the 4th and 5th round of the fight, but we're talking about a 12-15 round heavyweight fight. They got back up off the mat. They won the 7th. They won the 7th round, and now we'll see what the second half of the season looks like as we are now 2 weeks away from the All-Star break, and we are now a month away from the trade deadline. The Royals deserve a lot of credit for not getting knocked out. It felt like their season was at a very interesting crossroad. They could have went left on the fork. They could have went right on the fork. This season could have completely skidded off the tracks. You could have had another bad week at Kauffman Stadium, and it would be doom and gloom in Kansas City. That cannot be how you feel right now. If the playoffs started today, the Royals would be back in it. You have new hope and new expectations when it comes to the American League Central and your chance to get back in it. And the Royals just showed you this week that they can stand toe-to-toe with the big boys in the American League. There's only 3 of those teams. It's the New York Yankees, it's the Baltimore Orioles, and the Cleveland Guardians. They just took 3 out of 4 of one of those teams. So sure, this is not a perfect baseball team. You don't need to be one of those teams. I think the Royals have pretty consistently shown you now through the first 90 games of the season that they are one of the top 7 teams in the American League, and that's all you need to be, Rob, to grab one of those wild card spots.
It's not a perfect analogy, but I think you'll understand it. Remember in the middle of the Chiefs season when they went out to Mile High Stadium and they just did not play well? They looked objectively like a bad football team in Denver. They lost by, I think, 16 or 18 points in Denver. And for a week, the conversation about the Chiefs was, are they in trouble? And the ensuing game, they were headed to Germany. They played a really good team, a playoff team in the Dolphins. And the conversation was rut-row. It was, is this a blip or is it a trend? That was the conversation in the middle of the season with the Chiefs before they then went and beat the Dolphins. That's how I feel about this Royals series. There was an uh-oh moment. There was a, they're kind of coming back to earth. There was a same old Royals feel that was permeating around the city. Here we go again was the vibe kind of going around town. If you kept an eye on Baseball Reference or Fan Graphs, wherever you like to see your playoff odds and numbers, it was slowly starting to tick down week after week after week as part of this June swoon. Lo and behold, here came the most difficult, maybe one of the more difficult stretches they've had. They're playing the bully in their division who had looked better than them in Cleveland, and here they come to Kansas City. and you took care of business. We said, hey, tread water, go 2-2, you're happy. You lose the series, we're only talking wild card. Well, they are fully back in the AL Central conversation because they now treated that June swoon like a blip. They treated that June swoon like it wasn't a trend, it's an outlier. And if we look back at the season, they had a winning May, a winning April, the June swoon. If they have a winning July, you're going to circle and be like, hey, they had a little regression, but then they got back to who they were. Similar to the Chiefs after their little regression against the Broncos.
And if you look at the remaining, I mean, there are 2 weeks until you get to the All-Star break. I mean, the All-Star break starts on July 15th. So you got 2 weeks from now. You got a home series against Tampa Bay. If you simply win one game against Tampa Bay, you can lose the series. If you win one game against Tampa Bay, you ensure that you have a winning 10-game homestand. You go on the road to play Colorado. They're one of the five worst teams in Major League Baseball. You have on the road against St. Louis. They have been a hovering around 500 team for most of the season. And then, I mean, your last series before the All-Star break is a really important one. You want to talk about competing against Cleveland in the division. One of the teams that you are directly competing with is the Boston Red Sox in the American League. You are competing with them for a wild card spot. We haven't talked a lot about this, Rob, but if you really look at the wild card standings, it is the division of baseball. If you look at the wild card and the teams that are currently in it, listen to this. If the playoffs started today, the Yankees would be the top wild card team. It's either going to be the Yankees as the top wild card team or Baltimore. One of those teams is going to win the division. The other team is going to be a wild card. You then got Minnesota, small market. You've got Kansas City, a small market. You've got Boston, large market. You've got Houston, one of the bigger markets, World Series team. You've got Tampa Bay, small market. Those are all the teams that are within four games of the wild card. You got everybody in there with the chance to compete. Hey, your payroll is not going to help you if you're the Boston Red Sox. The Royals have three more wins than you have right now. So you are in a legitimate race. We have been talking about it all season. You really got five teams fighting for three spots here. The Yankees or the Orioles are going to grab one of those spots, and then we'll see between Minnesota, Kansas City, Boston, Houston, Tampa Bay. We'll see which two of those teams are going to grab those final two wild card spots and represent the American League. Before we take a little bit of a break here, I want to give you guys a lot of credit. Now, every home game we play, how many people are going to be at Kauffman Stadium? And Rob and I have been critical at times about the attendance. You guys wanted the Royals to be good. You wanted the Royals to be competitive. They are competitive. They are good. And the Royals are still bottom five in attendance. This weekend, Kansas City showed up and showed out. They got 23,000 people on Thursday. Now, Friday, I don't think was the number that you and I were thinking, but I think that you and I didn't credit how much the rain was going to keep some people away. It's not every four-game homestand that happens over the Wednesday that the firework, or excuse me, over weekend, that the firework Friday is going to be the least attended game. So they got 23,000 on Thursday. They got 20,000 on Friday. They got 24,000 on Saturday for Bo Jackson Hall of Fame night. And they got 27,000 people out there yesterday at Kauffman Stadium to watch them with a 6-2 win over the Cleveland Guardians. So you and I both wanted to see what the attendance was going to be like, how Kansas City was going to respond to the Royals, and if they had a meaningful series, and they responded really well. They have three more games left on this homestand. One is on the 4th of July. You would think that you'll get great attendance for that. It's a holiday week, a holiday weekend. Some people are going to take off all week. Some people are going to take off just Thursday and Friday. However you plan on doing the next 4 or 5 days or so, I expect more good crowds. I expect more people to continue to go out there. This homestand is gone almost exactly how you would have pictured it. You did what you needed to do against the Marlins. You didn't just split the series with Cleveland. You won the series with Cleveland. And again, now if you just win one of these next three games against Tampa Bay, you ensure that you have a winning homestand and it continues to keep you viable. And as we head into the All-Star break, finish strong. That would be my message if I'm Matt Quatraro. Let's finish strong here. We have four series left before everybody gets a week off. We got Tampa Bay at home, and then we have eight games on the road. We play a bad team in Colorado, an okay team in St. Louis, and a team that we are directly competing against to see who's going to make the postseason or not. This is a really important two-week stretch as the Royals head into the All-Star break. Give yourself a chance to breathe a little bit, come back focused for a second-half run, and then we'll see if the Royals are going to add some talent at the deadline. Coming up on the other side, with no Royals today, there's no NBA today. There is only one thing that's on television, Rob. You know what it is? USA Men's Soccer. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Now, you guys have maybe heard me say this before, but if you haven't, let me share with you a take that I have. I am a believer that everyone cheers for Missouri, and not Missouri in the sense of that you actually cheer for the Missouri Tigers, because I know not all of you do, but there is a team that you cheer for, that you hope and wish and pray that they are going to break through, and what they do is routinely break your heart. Maybe you cheer for a different team, you know? Maybe you're a Boston College fan. I don't know where your alma mater is. But the concept of cheering for Missouri is you get really excited. You know, they got the quarterback in place. They got the coach in place. They got the number one recruit in the country in basketball. You're hopeful that things are going to work out. Well, they never work out for you, do they? You cheer for Missouri. The reason I am telling you this is because Rob's favorite team is Missouri. Sure, he graduated from Kansas. He's a big KU fan, big football fan, big basketball fan. He went to the bowl game last year. He loves Kansas, but he cheers for Missouri. He cheers for Team USA Soccer. That's Rob's favorite team. Don't let Rob fool you. It's not the Chiefs. It's not the Royals. It's not Kansas. Rob's favorite team is the United States men's national soccer team. Rob, all they've ever done is let you down, huh? All they've ever done is disappoint you. You love Christian Pulisic. He's your favorite athlete. Has he brought you any joy? Do you have any banners? Do you have any great memories of cheering for Team USA Soccer? You don't even want to go to the game today. Rob has hit rock bottom as a fan. I'm going to tell you what rock bottom is as a fan. This doesn't matter what team you cheer for. This is rock bottom. If you start cheering for your team to lose because of draft positioning, or you want to fire the coach, and you think that a loss can help you fire the coach, you're a rock bottom. The next step is quitting. The next step is finding a new team to cheer for. That's what it is. It's finding a new team. If you are actively watching the game and hoping that they lose because they will get a new coach at the end of it, you're lost, my brother. You're lost. Rob has been talking to me about this soccer game for months. I was going to get Rob tickets as his wedding gift. He looked at me today and said, nah, man, I don't want to go out there and watch him lose. He looked at me and said, hey, I'll get them for you. Nah, man, I don't want to go, man. That's okay, man. I'll stay at home, man. Me and the wife, she's going to cook, man. I'll watch it at home. You know what dudes say when they know their team about to lose. He didn't have any measure of excitement. Rob, your favorite athlete is playing 25 minutes from your house today. You don't have any desire to go? He was like, I mean, man, I'll go if I get free tickets, man, but I don't want to go, man, you know. Rob started making excuses. Man, you know, we got to clean up around the house. You know you down bad when you say you don't want to go to the game because you got to clean up around the house. Things are rough. So the moral of this story is you laugh at Mizzou, and I get it. Maybe you're a KU fan. Maybe you're a K-State fan. So you laugh at Missouri. But I just want you to know deep down that all of us cheer for Missouri in our own way. And Rob has a Missouri. He loves United States men's soccer. He knows that they're going to disappoint him in the World Cup. He knows they're going to lose to Panama or Uruguay, or they're going to lose to somebody they shouldn't be losing to in soccer. But Rob's still hopeful every single time. He's still talking to me about, hey, man, give us another 5 years. He is always excited about the next recruiting class. When you're excited about the next recruiting class, you know they got you in. They have you in the worst 360 contract that you have ever seen before. It's like crypto. You are participating in a scam. Hey, man, they got some. He's talking about 12-year-old kids that are coming up through the USA system. They got you in a terrible record contract. Rob, are you going to the game tonight, man?
No. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to watch that live. That would make me mad. I'm not signing up to go to Arrowhead on a Monday night and be angry and just be like, screw it, I'm going to pound beers in the car before I get out of here. No, that's not what I'm doing in my life. I'm going to sit at home and watch, and at 10 o'clock when the match is over, I can quietly go to bed and hope against hope that tomorrow morning I get an alert. Greg Berhalter relieved of his duties from U.S. men's national team. That's what I want. By the way, every fan in the city can relate to this. Every team has had that moment. Kansas football's had countless of them, so let's not even worry about that. Mizzou basketball. When you guys had Kim Anderson, you were this way. Please, just get rid of him. I can't do anymore. K-State fan, you had that same moment. It was called Bruce Weber at the end. Please stop talking. We're done with you.
Ron Prince. Yeah, no.
Barry Odom had this at the end. Everyone's had that. The Royals have had it, like, with owners and everyone. The Chiefs had it. Remember, they were flying banners. They were doing all sorts of stuff. Every fan relates to this. You're just so miserable with the product that your team is putting out, and you're tired of the sadness, and you're tired of the frustration, and you're exhausted with the losing, that you just want wholesale changes. And at a certain point, you realize the path to change is not mediocrity. The path to change is failure. So bottom out and let's restart.
Okay, but this would be my question, and we're talking about this because Team USA they're in town today. They're playing, was it 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at
8 o'clock Arrowhead.
They're playing later today. Maybe it's just never going to happen. Have you thought about that? Think about it. Missouri has had 20, 30 different basketball coaches. They've never gone to the Final Four. They didn't go with Norm Stewart. They didn't go with Kim Anderson. They didn't go with Konzo Martin, Mike Anderson. You name them, they failed every single time. Why do I think the current coach is going to be different? All history has shown me is there is a ceiling on what they're going to be able to accomplish. You think the coach is why America's not good at soccer? You think there's an American mind out there that could unlock America's soccer potential that we have just been, we've been toiling away for your basic, your entire life. And there is this man out there right now that is waiting in the wings. And if he get his shot, you know what? They're going to go to the Elite Eight in the World Cup. They're going to win the Copa America. That's what you think?
At a certain point, we talk about this on the show, those sports. It's anyone but him time. Anyone but him.
You just don't want this guy to be this, coaching you anymore.
I know this is failure, and I am tired of watching this. So give me the change. If the change is worse, that's the risk I'm willing to take. But I can't imagine the change is worse. And by the way, there are names out there, they're not American-born, that are better than what the U.S. has. You just have to back up a Brinks truck and go get them. But don't just roll out another MLS. Oh, he was good in him. No, it's time to utilize the golden generation and not strive for round of 16 and have parades for it. It's just, it's mind numbing to watch.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I just wanted to know. I wasn't sure. Figured I would ask.
I mean, it's probably the same frustration that you had with Konzo Martin. There's all this talent. He brought in good talent. But why are we an 8 seed? Why are we striving for a 10 seed? Why are we on the bubble? Why are we just, you know, every selection Sunday, will we make it? We're going to be in the play-in game. That shouldn't be happening. We should want more. That's what the current feeling is to the U.S. It's not bottoming out. It's not Charlie Weiss Kansas football. It's not Ron Prince Kansas State football. It's just toiling in mediocrity. It is, something has to change. I can see there's something there, but it's not happening with this group.
Okay, no, that makes perfect sense. Someone on the text line says, yes, CDOT, but has soccer ever had the opportunity to pick any U.S. male for the only team that we have? Panama has this choice, but what about America? We don't love soccer yet. I just want to put into context how big Panama is, just to give you guys a little bit of an understanding. There are 4.4 million people that live in Panama. If Panama was a state in the United States, that's as many people that live in Louisiana, which is the 25th most populated state. So you're right. Panama gets to pick the best of the best and they play soccer. Our country is seismically bigger than Panama. I didn't know that this was you would just think we can't find 20 really good soccer players in this country. We can't just develop 20 really good soccer players. We develop really good players at everything else. We develop really good gymnastics, really good figure skaters, really good baseball players, really good football players, really good track athletes. We develop really good people at a lot of things. We can't find 20 people really good at soccer in this country.
That's the problem. The talent is not the real issue.
Okay, I don't know.
Everyone on this roster is playing high level across the pond. EPL, Bundesliga, La Liga. They are playing in the best leagues and the best clubs in the world. And then for some reason, they put on the crest and it's just a disaster.
They put on the crest. Okay, my bad. I'm just here. Hey, you know what? Soccer is in town. I want to make sure, you know, this is the soccer show. If you got soccer thoughts, this is the best place to get them off. 913-586-7610. I want to be that safe haven for soccer. We got Team USA, the biggest fan of USA soccer. He's done with them. He said, I don't even want to go to the game. I'm not going back till they fire their coach. I don't want anything to do with this. Please get it out of here. Please keep it away from me. Coming up on the other side, Travis Kelce said something very interesting on his podcast. We'll play it for you. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Let me play this audio for you guys. This is Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce was on his podcast, and listen to what he said about possible expansion in the NFL.
How long do you think it'll be before there's an NFL team in London?
Less than 10 years.
You think within the decade?
I don't know for a fact it's going to be London, but I think the teams...
NFL, I think if there's an NFL team, the first city it's coming to is London. I'll go on record for that.
I mean, it's where we've been playing for the most overseas, yeah.
Yeah, there's the most amount of fans here. There's that biggest appetite in London. It's a major market. The only other cities that it would also be in would be like, I know Germany has a lot of NFL fans, so there'd probably be a German team, I'd assume in Munich or Berlin.
Yeah.
But I think London's getting the first one.
That was Jason and Travis Kelce on their podcast, and they were talking about possible expansion to London. This is what I maybe don't understand. Does anybody want this? How do you make this work from a television perspective? How do you keep the competitive balance in the league? If there's a team in London, how viable are they going to be in free agency? Like, are you convincing a lot of people to sign with the London football team? It just feels like we are sort of bending over backwards to make something happen that doesn't need to happen, especially when what the NFL should be focused on, in my opinion, if you really, really want to invest more in London, if that's really your goal, right, which is to invest in London, it's really one of two things. Either eventually give them a Super Bowl and put them in the rotation. I mean, that's already turned into an event that we don't think is for the average fan. So if you can't afford to go to the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, if you can't afford to go to the Super Bowl in San Francisco, then you're not going to the London one either. Stay at home and watch it on television. 140 million people are going to do that anyway. Eventually give them the Super Bowl so then they get the biggest American football event that you have, or you need to create a real season ticket package for them that's equal to what you get if you cheer for any NFL team. If you're a Chiefs fan, you get a couple of preseason games, you get 8 or 9 home games, and then you get possible playoff games. Now, you're not going to be able to give them playoff games because they don't have a home team, but right now they have 3 home games. Try to get them to 6. Get them to 6 to 8 home games a year, and you have given them a home team even without giving them a home team. Hey, if you can buy a Wembley Stadium 8-game season ticket package and you get Chiefs and Eagles and you get Bills and Patriots and you get whatever random teams that you want to go out there and see, to me, that's how you expand it. I also think the reason people are so fixated on the NFL moving to London is because we know that there is no more football that they can sell us here in America. There are no more cities they can go to. What cities that don't have an NFL team make sense other than them moving back to places that they have already moved from? Now, I'm perfectly fine if they take the Chargers and put them back to where they should be. I'm fine if the Raiders end up going back to Oakland and moving out of Las Vegas. I don't think that's going to happen. Are we going to see a scenario in which St. Louis gets another football team? I mean, you've lost 2 in the last 50 years. Why would the NFL give you a 3rd one? There's no other cities that make sense in the United States anymore. The NFL is not moving to Portland. The NFL is not going to San Antonio. Jerry Jones, as long as he's alive, will do everything humanly possible to ensure that there will never be a San Antonio football team to cut into his profit share and his market share down in Texas. So there's no more United States cities to move to, and that's why we keep having this conversation about London. There's not that many cities that internationally would make sense. Either you find another Canadian city, you move to Mexico City, which would be in the central time zone, I believe Mexico City is, or you just go all in on London. I don't think you need to go all in on London any more than you already are. Commit to giving them a couple of more games than you already give them, and or eventually give them the Super Bowl. Give them the Super Bowl. The average consumer doesn't go to the Super Bowl anyway. Now, it's going to stink if you don't have the ability to go to Super Bowl weekend. Like, I've been to multiple Super Bowl weekends, but never gone to the game. That part would stink. But you know what? You will have a chance to go to the next one when it's in New Orleans. You have a chance to go to the next one when it's in Miami or wherever it could potentially be. But this conversation about London getting a football team, I just think logistically, I just don't know if it makes a lot of sense for them to have a year-round American football team. It just doesn't add up to me.
I agree with you. And I think another part of this equation here is, I think right now when the NFL plays in London, which is 3, 4, 5 times a year now, it's a spectacle. It's an event because they're taking teams over there and it's a showcase. Is it still a showcase if it's the Jaguars full time? And if it's the Jaguars full time, if you live in London and you're a hardcore West Ham fan and they're playing at the same time the Jags are, what do you think the average Londoner is going to pick? They're going to pick soccer over the NFL when it's just their club. When it's Jags and Titans, and I'm using the Jags as my generic team that goes over. When it's Jags and Titans, do they care if that's, hey, I can see them next week? I think right now, to an extent, what the NFL has done is they've made their trips across the pond events. They aren't events when it's a regular season game, week in, week out, when it's a grind. That kind of changes the dynamic. Right now, it's show up in your town, have a party, leave. Bring the biggest star from our country over, have a party, play a game, leave. I think that formula works best. And I think the NFL knows that, which is why they're expanding that plan to other countries and other cities. We just saw the Chiefs in Germany. They're playing a game this year in Brazil. They're going to go over there. They're going to showcase the best players in the world. They're going to have a big party for a week. NFL International is going to be great. And then they're going to get out of town and go back home. That is the best path the NFL to grow the game, because I don't think a week-in, week-out product in these cities is going to do better than the sports that already exist in those cities.
Someone just texted in, CDOT, would the Premier League or the Champions League ever play their championship game in America? I doubt it. Now, I'm not the most familiar with soccer, but at least follow me here. The Premier League and Champions League don't really seem that interested in taking over the United States market the way that the NFL seems interested in taking over their market. It's not like the Premier League is just hosting regular season games around the United States the way that the United States is. This season, they have given 5 regular season games to other countries. There's going to be 3 games in London. You mentioned it. There's going to be 1 game in Germany and 1 game in Brazil. There's no other league that's trying to do that other than the NFL. The NBA isn't taking their game and putting regular season games around the world. Baseball plays games in, what, 1 other country? And they do that at the very beginning of the season. Like, this is part of the business model for the NFL. So if it's part of your business model, there's no bigger game to give them than the first one. There ain't no bigger, than the last one. There's no bigger game to give them. Now, I'm not advocating for it. I think the London thing is, but it's clear what they're trying to do. They have sold football in America, and they are really close to the cap. They can't sell you it any more than they do. It is a 24/7, 365. They're trying to already get every dollar out of you. They keep adding games and keep adding streaming networks. They're getting real close to how much money you're about to get out of football in America. There's still a lot of money you can get to in Canada. There's a lot of money you can get to in Germany, in Brazil, in Mexico, and in London. And that's why the NFL continues to have this international mission that they have that obviously is working. Like, they are responding really well to it in London. They've done this now for over a decade. They're certainly becoming more familiar with the NFL. So yesterday, I got something to eat, and I was watching the Bo Jackson 30 for 30 documentary. I've maybe seen it a handful of times, but seeing that he recently went into the Royals Hall of Fame, I just kind of wanted to be reminded. I've been on a Bo Jackson kick the last couple of days, just going back ever since we talked about it. We talked about his year in 1989. He hit 30 home runs, had 100 RBIs, he stole 30 bases, and he ran for 950 yards in the NFL. Like, one of the best seasons, best years that any athlete has ever had that we can think of. So I went back and I watched his documentary yesterday. Well, you guys know he recently went into the Royals Hall of Fame, and here's what he said about seeing people wear his jersey.
When I see people wearing my jersey in this day and age, it means one thing to me, that I did something right. And people still respect me for doing those right things when I was younger, period. There are so many things out there right now to where these young players, there's so much out there for them to chase after, get into, that we didn't know anything about. And a lot of kids will make the wrong decisions. For me, I'm just fortunate enough and thankful enough that I had a group of people around me that cared about me as a person instead of the athlete.
That was Bo Jackson talking about seeing people in his jersey. I'll play one more Bo Jackson cut for you guys here coming up in just a bit. This is what I've been thinking of. You guys know that I'd like to have Hall of Fame debates. It's just fun to me. You know, hey, is this guy going to get in? Is this guy going to get in? And Bo Jackson is never going to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame. And it really got me thinking. I wonder now if the culture is so centered around winning championships that we never allow ourselves to just love an athlete because it's fun to watch them play. If you think about when we were coming up as kids, you loved watching Barry Sanders play. Never came close to winning a championship, but Barry Sanders was just a really fun athlete to play. Randy Moss with the Minnesota Vikings was just a dominant, great football player. Never won a championship. We saw his best football with the New England Patriots. Never got a chance to win a championship. Like, we can go up and down the list. Allen Iverson, great player. Never got a championship. I was just thinking with Bo Jackson that Bo has something that is even more special than a gold jacket. Curtis Martin is in the Hall of Fame. Who do you think is going to be more remembered? Is Curtis Martin going to be remembered for him as a running back? Or are you going to remember Bo Jackson? Do you still talk about Tecmo Super Bowl Bo Jackson? Do you still remember the Nike campaign? Do you remember Bo Jackson's tennis shoes? Like, Bo Jackson was a pop culture icon because you simply liked watching him play. So sure, Bo Jackson didn't have the career that Frank Gore had. Frank Gore ran for all these yards, and we debate if he's going to go in the Hall of Fame or not. Sports is usually about, at least on an individual level, how athletes make you feel and how you remember them. And you are going to remember Bo Jackson far better than you are going to remember guys that eventually end up going into the Hall of Fame. Now, obviously, you want to go into the Hall of Fame. You want to see your name alongside a Ken Griffey Jr., a Sandy Koufax, a Mike Schmidt, a George Brett, amongst the greatest players who have ever played your prospective sport. But the fact that we still talk about Bo Jackson, the fact that his memory still resonates 30, 40 years later, and people still talk about what they saw and what they remember, and you ask people, hey, who's the best athlete that you've ever seen? And almost unanimously, they tell you Bo Jackson. That's greater than being in the Hall of Fame.
I wonder why. And is it the 24-hour news cycle of sports? Is it the First Takes of the world that we have to argue about legacy no matter what is happening always in sports? I don't know why we can't appreciate players anymore, because we don't. Like, Bo Jackson would have been panned for not picking a sport, and then it would have been, well, see, because he picked two sports, that's why he got hurt early. That would be the conversation in modern era about Bo Jackson. There were great players from when me and you were kids, Carrington, and we just enjoyed watching them play. But now, do kids enjoy watching people play, or is it always an argument about legacy? Like, you mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. Man, oh man, did I love Griffey as a kid.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Let me play this audio for you guys. This is Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce was on his podcast, and listen to what he said about possible expansion in the NFL.
How long do you think it'll be before there's an NFL team in London?
Less than 10 years.
You think within the decade?
I don't know for a fact it's going to be London, but I think the teams.
I think if there's an NFL team, the first city it's coming to is London. I'll go on record for that.
I mean, it's where we've been playing for the most overseas, yeah.
Yeah, there's the most amount of fans here. There's that biggest appetite in London. It's a major market. The only other cities that it would also be in would be, like, I know Germany has a lot of NFL fans, so there'd probably be a German team, I'd assume, in Munich or Berlin.
Yeah.
But I think London's getting the first one.
That was Jason and Travis Kelce on their podcast, and they were talking about possible expansion to London. This is what I maybe don't understand. Does anybody want this? How do you make this work from a television perspective? How do you keep the competitive balance in the league if there's a team in London? How viable are they going to be in free agency? Like, are you convincing a lot of people to sign with the London football team? It just feels like we are sort of bending over backwards to make something happen that doesn't need to happen, especially when what the NFL should be focused on, in my opinion, if you really, really want to invest more in London, if that's really your goal, right, which is to invest in London, it's really one of two things. Either eventually give them a Super Bowl and put them in the rotation. I mean, that's already turned into an event that we don't think is for the average fan. So if you can't afford to go to the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, if you can't afford to go to the Super Bowl in San Francisco, then you're not going to the London one either. Stay at home and watch it on television. 140 million people are going to do that anyway. Eventually give them the Super Bowl so then they get the biggest American football event that you have. Or you need to create a real season ticket package for them that's equal to what you get if you cheer for any NFL team. If you're a Chiefs fan, you get a couple of preseason games, you get 8 or 9 home games, and then you get possible playoff games. Now, you're not going to be able to give them playoff games because they don't have a home team, but right now they have 3 home games. Try to get them to 6. Get them to 6 to 8 home games a year, and you have given them a home team even without giving them a home team. Hey, if you can buy a Wembley Stadium 8-game season ticket package and you get Chiefs and Eagles and you get Bills and Patriots and you get whatever random teams that you want to go out there and see, to me, that's how you expand it. I also think the reason people are so fixated on the NFL moving to London is because we know that there is no more football that they can sell us here in America. There are no more cities they can go to. What cities that don't have an NFL team make sense other than them moving back to places that they have already moved from? Now, I'm perfectly fine if they take the Chargers and put them back to where they should be. I'm fine if the Raiders end up going back to Oakland and moving out of Las Vegas. I don't think that's going to happen. Are we going to see a scenario in which St. Louis gets another football team? I mean, you've lost 2 in the last 50 years. Why would the NFL give you a 3rd one? There's no other cities that make sense in the United States anymore. The NFL is not moving to Portland. The NFL is not going to San Antonio. Jerry Jones, as long as he's alive, will do everything humanly possible to ensure that there will never be a San Antonio football team to cut into his profit share and his market share down in Texas. So there's no more United States cities to move to. And that's why we keep having this conversation about London. There's not that many cities that internationally would make sense. Either you find another Canadian city, you move to Mexico City, which would be in the central time zone, I believe Mexico City is, or you just go all in on London. I don't think you need to go all in on London any more than you already are. Commit to giving them a couple of more games than you already give them, and or eventually give them the Super Bowl. Give them the Super Bowl. The average consumer doesn't go to the Super Bowl anyway. Now, it's going to stink if you don't have the ability to go to Super Bowl weekend. Like, I've been to multiple Super Bowl weekends, but never gone to the game. That part would stink. But you know what? You will have a chance to go to the next one when it's in New Orleans. You have a chance to go to the next one when it's in Miami or wherever it could potentially be. But this conversation about London getting a football team, I just think logistically, I just don't know if it makes a lot of sense for them to have a year-round American football team. It just doesn't add up to me.
I agree with you. And I think another part of this equation here is, I think right now when the NFL plays in London, which is 3, 4, 5 times a year now, it's a spectacle. It's an event because they're taking teams over there and it's a showcase. Is it still a showcase if it's the Jaguars full time? And if it's the Jaguars full time, if you live in London and you're a hardcore West Ham fan and they're playing at the same time the Jags are, what do you think the average Londoner is going to pick? They're going to pick soccer over the NFL when it's just their club. When it's Jags and Titans, and I'm using the Jags as my generic team that goes over. When it's Jags and Titans, do they care if that's, hey, I can see them next week? I think right now, to an extent, what the NFL has done is they've made their trips across the pond events. They aren't events when it's a regular season game, week in, week out, when it's a grind. That kind of changes the dynamic. Right now, it's show up in your town, have a party, leave. Bring the biggest star from our country over, have a party, play a game, leave. I think that formula works best. And I think the NFL knows that, which is why they're expanding that plan to other countries and other cities. We just saw the Chiefs in Germany. They're playing a game this year in Brazil. They're going to go over there. They're going to showcase the best players in the world. They're going to have a big party for a week. NFL International. It's going to be great. And then they're going to get out of town and go back home. That is the best path the NFL to grow the game, because I don't think a week-in, week-out product in these cities is going to do better than the sports that already exist in those cities.
Someone just texted in, CDOT, would the Premier League or the Champions League ever play their championship game in America? I doubt it. Now, I'm not the most familiar with soccer, but at least follow me here. The Premier League and Champions League don't really seem that interested in taking over the United States market the way that the NFL seems interested in taking over their market. It's not like the Premier League is just hosting regular season games around the United States the way that the United States is. This season, they have given 5 regular season games to other countries. There's going to be 3 games in London. You mentioned it. There's going to be 1 game in Germany and 1 game in Brazil. There's no other league that's trying to do that other than the NFL. The NBA isn't taking their game and putting regular season games around the world. Baseball plays games in, what, 1 other country? And they do that at the very beginning of the season. Like, this is part of the business model for the NFL. So if it's part of your business model, there's no bigger game to give them than the first one. There ain't no bigger, than the last one. There's no bigger game to give them. Now, I'm not advocating for it. I think the London thing is, but it's clear what they're trying to do. They have sold football in America, and they are really close to the cap. They can't sell you it any more than they do. It is a 24/7, 365. They're trying to already get every dollar out of you. They keep adding games and keep adding streaming networks. They're getting real close to how much money you're about to get out of football in America. There's still a lot of money you can get to in Canada. There's a lot of money you can get to in Germany and Brazil and Mexico and London. And that's why the NFL continues to have this international mission that they have that obviously is working. Like, they are responding really well to it in London. They've done this now for over a decade. They're certainly becoming more familiar with the NFL. So yesterday, I got something to eat and I was watching the Bo Jackson 30 for 30 documentary. I've maybe seen it a handful of times, but seeing that he recently went into the Royals Hall of Fame, I just kind of wanted to be reminded. I've been on a Bo Jackson kick the last couple of days, just going back ever since we talked about it. We talked about his year in 1989. He hit 30 home runs, had 100 RBIs, he stole 30 bases, and he ran for 950 yards in the NFL. Like, one of the best seasons, best years that any athlete has ever had that we can think of. So I went back and I watched his documentary yesterday. Well, you guys know he recently went into the Royals Hall of Fame, and here's what he said about seeing people wear his jersey.
When I see people wearing my jersey in this day and age, it means one thing to me, that I did something right. And people still respect me for doing those right things when I was younger, period. There are so many things out there right now to where these young players, there's so much out there for them to chase after, get into, that we didn't know anything about. And a lot of kids will make the wrong decisions. For me, I'm just fortunate enough and thankful enough that I had a group of people around me that cared about me as a person instead of the athlete.
That was Bo Jackson talking about seeing people in his jersey. I'll play one more Bo Jackson cut for you guys here coming up in just a bit. This is what I've been thinking of. You guys know that I'd like to have Hall of Fame debates. It's just fun to me. You know, hey, is this guy going to get in? Is this guy going to get in? And Bo Jackson is never going to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame. And it really got me thinking. I wonder now if the culture is so centered around winning championships that we never allow ourselves to just love an athlete because it's fun to watch them play. If you think about when we were coming up as kids, you loved watching Barry Sanders play. Never came close to winning a championship, but Barry Sanders was just a really fun athlete to play. Randy Moss with the Minnesota Vikings was just a dominant, great football player. Never won a championship. We saw his best football with the New England Patriots. Never got a chance to win a championship. Like, we can go up and down the list. Allen Iverson, great player, never got a championship. I was just thinking with Bo Jackson that Bo has something that is even more special than a gold jacket. Curtis Martin is in the Hall of Fame.
Who do you think is going to be more remembered? Is Curtis Martin going to be remembered for him as a running back? Or are you going to remember Bo Jackson? Do you still talk about Tecmo Super Bowl Bo Jackson? Do you still remember the Nike campaign? Do you remember Bo Jackson's tennis shoes? Like, Bo Jackson was a pop culture icon because you simply liked watching him play. So sure, Bo Jackson didn't have the career that Frank Gore had. Frank Gore ran for all these yards, and we debate if he's going to go in the Hall of Fame or not. Sports is usually about, at least on an individual level, how athletes make you feel and how you remember them. And you are going to remember Bo Jackson far better than you are going to remember guys that eventually end up going into the Hall of Fame. Now, obviously, you want to go into the Hall of Fame. You want to see your name alongside a Ken Griffey Jr., a Sandy Koufax, a Mike Schmidt, a George Brett, amongst the greatest players who have ever played your prospective sport. But the fact that we still talk about Bo Jackson, the fact that his memory still resonates 30, 40 years later, and people still talk about what they saw and what they remember, and you ask people, hey, who's the best athlete that you've ever seen? And almost unanimously, they tell you Bo Jackson. That's greater than being in the Hall of Fame.
I wonder why. And is it the 24-hour news cycle of sports? Is it the First Takes of the world that we have to argue about legacy no matter what is happening always in sports? I don't know why we can't appreciate players anymore, because we don't. Like, Bo Jackson would have been panned for not picking a sport, and then it would have been, well, see, because he picked two sports, that's why he got hurt early. That would be the conversation in modern era about Bo Jackson. There were great players from when me and you were kids, Carrington, and we just enjoyed watching them play. But now, do kids enjoy watching people play, or is it always an argument about legacy? Like, you mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. Man, oh man, did I love Griffey as a kid. Everyone loved Griffey as a kid. That sweet left-hand swing, he wore the backwards hat in the home run derby. Ken Griffey Jr. was awesome. Ken Griffey Jr. doesn't have a World Series ring. Do you know what would be the conversation in 2024 if he was playing baseball? They would talk about him like he's Mike Trout. Yeah, he's great, but he's never done anything. Like, what? Why have we as sports fans become so jaded? And immediately, it doesn't matter how long you're in sports, we immediately are talking about your legacy.
I think you want my real answer? I think it's Michael Jordan. I think it's Michael Jordan. Think about all the great things that Michael Jordan has accomplished. You want to know what we talk about the most? How many championships he's won. Now, Mike is different. Like, Mike made you feel something and won a lot of championships. It's the same conversation that we have about Lamar Jackson in regards to this. Maybe Lamar Jackson never wins the Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe he never wins. Lamar Jackson is one of the most exciting football players I've ever seen. Is he the perfect quarterback? Of course not. Are there things that Lamar Jackson could be better at that could help him win a championship? Sure. The same way that Allen Iverson, for as great as we remember Allen Iverson, couldn't really shoot and was a highly inefficient player. Today's analytics would hate Allen Iverson. He's 6'1", couldn't shoot it from three, took a lot of mid-range shots, didn't really make a lot of shots. You just had to be there to experience it, to remember how great of a player Allen Iverson was. You just had to be there that a 6'1", 180-pound guard for a time was the best basketball player in the world. You just had to be there. The same way with Lamar. You just have to be there. And, of course, we're not going to appreciate it. He plays during the era of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is going to win 4 or 5 of these things. Maybe Lamar gets to one. Man, Lamar's just fun to watch. On a 3rd and 6, anything is possible. He could throw it 30 yards downfield. He could run for 60 yards. He just does something once a game that just makes you say, wow. I think in the vein that we have of arguing and debating about sports, we've just stopped appreciating when cool things happen. We've stopped appreciating whenever a guy hits a 500-foot home run, or a quarterback runs for 120 yards in a game, or a guy makes a really good catch. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it is just we have all become cynic. Maybe we are just non-believers now in a post-steroid world because baseball ruined our childhood in that way. But we have just stopped celebrating when guys were cool. Bo Jackson is the last athlete that we celebrated for just simply being cool. Bo never made the Pro Bowl, never ran 4,000 yards, had one All-Star as a baseball player, but Bo was just cool and did things that we've never seen anybody do before. And I don't know about you guys, that's a major reason of why I watch sports. I have no clue what's going to happen when you sit down and watch a game, and you were just hoping. You were hoping something really cool happens. A guy makes a great play. A guy hits four home runs at the game that you go to. That little bit of excitement and mystery is what makes it fun. You and I have seen enough movies, Rob, that you go into the movie, and a lot of times in the first 10 minutes, I can tell you what's going to happen. I still, you know, a plot twist can happen or something shocking. You've seen enough movies that you can realize, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen. You never feel that way going into sports, and that's what makes it still so special.
It's part of the appreciation of Bo's coolness, though, the fact that he was so accomplished in college. Like, he won a Heisman Trophy. Like, let's not diminish. That might be one of the coolest individual awards you can win in athletics. Like, it is a very cool deal to win the Heisman, even though I think it's been a little cheapened, but whatever. It's still a very cool deal. I think in college, we appreciate the cool. And Bo Jackson got the cool in college. But you're right. The minute guys go pro, we stop appreciating the cool. Because as much as me and you talk about Cam Newton and how good you think a college quarterback he was, we both appreciate how great he was at Auburn because he won the Heisman. But the conversation always pivots to, well, what'd he do as a pro? He didn't jump on that fumble. It feels like the minute pro sports happen is when we become jaded. Because I do think we still appreciate those cool moments in college. And Bo's one of those people. Not me and you, but people saw it in college, and it just transcended the jadedness.
I think a lot of that, honestly, I know we're up against it here. I think a lot of that is access. That one of the negatives of having every game available is you remember if you really, to see Kobe Bryant or to see Reggie Bush, you had to stay up to watch them. You couldn't just, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be able to see all of it on my phone. No, if you wanted to see how special Reggie Bush was, you had to watch every single Saturday. And he was going to do something really cool. You didn't have access to every USC game. And I think now that we get to a world where you can watch every team play every single moment, you kind of lose some of that aura. You lose some of that mystique. Like, the reason the Heisman went away is it's not regional anymore. You know going into it who's going to win. It's never a surprise on who's going to win the Heisman anymore. That when you and I were kids, all right, here's the West Coast Heisman finalist. You maybe seen him a couple times, but man, you heard he was really good. Here's the guy from the SEC. Here's the guy from the Big 12. Here's the guy from out east. Hey, who's the best college football player? As we have added the internet and we have lost regionalism, it just made everything a little different. So I've been thinking a lot about Bo Jackson over the last couple of days, just watching his documentary, seeing him go into the Royals Hall of Fame, and it just really got me thinking, man, Bo Jackson was just cool, you know? And it was one of those things that the record books aren't going to be able to tell you the full story. It's something that you either had to be there to experience, or you just got to sit there and look at the highlights, and he just does things that you are thinking, yo, how in the world did you do this? In the documentary, they showed it. He had a routine grounder to the shortstop, and he beat it out to first base. Like, how? At your size, how are you able to do this? I saw a throw from him on the White Sox. He makes a throw from right field to get a guy out at third base as he tried to tag up, and I'm like, there's not a lot of people I've ever seen that can make that throw. Just a once-in-a-generation, a once-in-a-lifetime athlete, Bo Jackson. Coming up at the top of the hour, someone that saw Bo Jackson, Denny Matthews, will join us on the show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!